W.H.R. Mike Schneider, affectionately known by his many supporters as Senator Mikey, and someone who has been on the show via Fairfax Radio. You're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And joining us on the Commons today, we have sent several times in the past. Mike, I know you're very busy, but I thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
You bet.
Mike, what's going on in Las Vegas? It sounds like there's a whole lot of good stuff going on there.
Well, I don't know if it's good stuff. There's a whole lot going on, and the FBI has raided attorneys' offices, construction companies, and homeowner association management offices. I guess they've issued papers to about 12 different people here, and
different people, individuals, or different organizations?
Well, individuals, from what I hear.
Okay.
And there are some organizations, too. But and it has to do with scams, actually, set up in these homeowner associations and the manipulation of voting to start construction defect lawsuits. And the manipulation of voting to elect board members that would be favorable, that were planted in associations to, so these particular people could be voted on the board, so they could get on the board to start construction defect lawsuits.
Mike, how did the FBI get involved in this? Do you have any idea? I know that some homeowners had gone to the FBI some years ago, but the FBI basically blew them off with the same tired old refrain about, well, this is a civil matter, take them to court. What prompted them to finally start asking the difficult questions?
Well, the reason I believe they got involved is because, yes, you're right. You know, the FBI said, you know, these are civil matters. But when it was explained to them that, that, you know, the district attorney didn't want to be involved and all that, and the attorney general, you know, as we went through, and then, you know, pointed out to them that this wasn't just a civil matter anymore, this was interstate, and it was a RICO matter, and because these the lawyers, these law firms, are going across state lines. And they're licensed in California, Arizona, Nevada, Colorado, Texas, even the state of Washington. Wherever there's been big growth the last 10 or 15 years, and big growth in the South and the West has meant homeowner associations. And that's what these law firms want to sue. That's where they want to start the suits. So the attorneys cross state lines, the construction companies cross state lines.
Oh, the construction companies as well?
The construction companies as well.
Wow.
And the architects they use all cross state lines. So by doing that, that is interstate crime. That's a RICO deal. And so that's why the FBI, I believe, looked at all this.
Sounds like very organized crime here.
Yeah.
Very organized when you have all of these different disciplines coming together, management companies, law firms, architects, construction companies, the whole management companies, everybody together, and then you've got the board members.
Right. That's right.
So who finally convinced the FBI? How did the FBI get involved? Because I know there are a lot, you know, I'm hearing from all sorts of people across the country, Mike, and they're saying the same things are happening in my association. We're getting the same problems. That's exactly what happened. We've got this management company in my state, and we've got that management company in my state, and which is essentially what you're saying. They've crossed state lines. What did it take to get the FBI involved?
Well, you had to show them that the same law firms, the same construction companies, the same architects were involved in multiple states. Once they saw that, and once they saw it, and they saw that homeowners were coming forward stating how, you know, there were illegal elections going on, how these construction defect guys were they're taking half the money, and they didn't have enough money left over to get any defects fixed. And
were there always defects, Mike, or were some of those defects made up?
Well, I told them some of them were made up. I mean, I have seen actual pictures of construction company where the construction company got pictures of the so-called experts for the attorneys were up rigging defects. We had pictures of that they were breaking tiles on roof. Out here in the West, you know, we have a lot of the
red tile roofs.
Yeah, the red tile roofs. And so we had pictures of them up there breaking tiles and setting other tiles around chimneys and then taking close-up pictures to make them look like they had slipped tiles and tiles that weren't properly put in place. So, there's a lot of that going on.
So the damage is criminal activity, isn't it? You can't go on someone's property, break it up, and then not get away with it.
Right. Well, they did it. And then they
started. But how are they getting away with it, Mike?
Well, you know, they go in and tell the homeowners, and they scare the homeowners to death. They tell them, look at all these defects, your house is going to fall down.
One of the worst stories I ever heard was from a group of people, and it was in Michigan. And this was a number of years ago. I had a number of people calling me up from across the state, and it was one attorney who was going in, getting the board to levy special assessments to pay him a retainer fee. He was walking around with his sidekick, basically, pointing out cracks in sidewalks, all of this stuff, and foreclosing. I mean, these people were losing their homes to foreclosure because they were, you know, they wanted the money. The attorneys wanted the money up front, and I said, well, if there is serious litigation going on, if there are defects, then, you know, shouldn't they be doing it on a contingency basis? They said, oh, they also get 50% as well. So what they were doing was going in, they were pointing out normal things, little cracks, nothing serious, saying if you don't get these fixed now, it's going to cost you a whole lot of money. They were then, you know, special assessing the homeowners, foreclosing to collect the special assessments, and then they were going to get 50% of whatever they got out of the construction company.
Right.
And this was not in Las Vegas. This was in Michigan. The problem was that a lot of those homeowners were seniors, and they were scared to death of saying anything. They swore me to secrecy. You cannot tell anyone.
Right.
And this was a few years ago. But how does something like this happen, Mike? How does it happen? How do they get away with it for years and years and years?
Well, they get away with it. Let me tell you, there's so much money involved. And I'm talking, you know, hundreds of millions involved, actually billions involved in that out west here. There's billions of dollars involved, and the attorneys are taking half of it. And so because of that, they have so much money, they're able to get in and influence the local chapters of CAI. They actually, they're the main contributor of money.
Are they members of CAI, Mike?
They are members of CAI.
Okay.
Yeah, these construction defect attorneys, you bet they are. They're members of CAI. And the contractors are too. And they put up so much money for the local chapters. You know, they buy all the lunches for them and all that, and they fund all their their projects. And so the local chapters become dependent on the money from the these trial lawyers. And then the trial lawyers at the same time, well, I shouldn't say trial lawyers, because there are some very good trial lawyers who are criminal lawyers, you know, but these construction defect attorneys, they get in the trial lawyer association and they give huge amounts of money, and they really, what I've seen here in Nevada and in California, they hijack the trial lawyer association, and now the trial lawyer association is defending in the legislature all the things these guys are doing, and they try to get laws changed regarding construction defect litigation and homeowner associations. Well, these guys are in changing the laws or making the laws very loose so that they're able to continue their shady business. That's what I've seen here in Nevada and California.
Well, that's what we've seen across the country. Is the FBI investigating CAI? Do you know?
You know, I have no idea. I would say they're probably not. They're investigating criminal activity here in Nevada, you know. And is it the organization? I don't. I would tell you it's not. I wouldn't even dream that would be something that the organization is doing or condones. These are just bad actors that happen to have got into the CAI chapter locally and have really just stolen the organization locally.
They're across the country. I don't think it's just there in Nevada and California, Mike. But, you know, again, CAI licenses the management company. CAI has the College of Community Association Lawyers, and some of these attorneys have been, you know, inducted into this College of CAI College of Lawyers. And yet one of my big beefs when CAI says, oh, no, we don't do that, one of my big beefs has always been they've never kicked anyone out. They've, you know, they've always defended them. They've always said, oh, isn't it a shame that, you know, people are going after these people, but they're not cleaning up their own nest.
Well, I, you know, years ago I spoke before the local chapter, CAI, and I told them that CAI was a failed organization. And I still stand by my words on that. I don't think that you can have an organization that is, you know, owing to so many people and so many different groups. And every person that's in the CAI, in my opinion, all these companies are at, whether it be the painters, landscapers, plumbers, attorneys, you know, all these people, their goal is to make money off of homeowner associations. And I just don't think that you can have that many masters, okay? And I've said this before. I told them, I said, you need to structure your organization like the realtors structure theirs, like the National Association of Realtors. And what they do is the realtors represent home buyers in their transaction. And realtors are held very high. And other people, painters and attorneys and title and escrow people, they can all be members of the Realtor Association, but they are affiliate members. And they have no voting rights and no rights to say anything. They're just affiliates. And when the realtors get down and the realtors talk about how to protect real estate and how to protect home buyers, the other people, the title and escrow people, the painters, the landscapers, they all have to leave the room. They have no input. And so I think CAI needs to be like that. And actually the managers then, the association managers, should be, that should be their organization. And it shouldn't be the organization of the lawyers and the landscapers and all that, that because those people, all they want to do is suck money out. And if somebody talks for associations, it should be, you know, the managers who have the most to lose in there. Then they should be licensed and held very, very high. And that's the only way you can have an association that can work, in my opinion. And I told them that right up front, and I've never been invited back. So, you know.
Gee, Mike, I wonder why. At least you were invited. I wasn't. So there you go. You can feel good about that. You know, how deep, do you have any idea what the scope of this investigation is?
Well, I don't, I do not. And, you know, I haven't been down to talk to them, the FBI. I mean, who wants to go talk to the FBI more than once, you know? So I haven't been down to talk to them, so I don't know how big it is, but I'll tell you, I'll tell you how serious it is. There were a couple of retired police officers that were involved in this scam.
Yeah, one of them allegedly committed suicide, right?
He didn't allegedly commit suicide. He's dead. And he killed himself. So, you know, and these two cops were getting in on the board of directors of associations, working for this peer's one particular attorney. And so they get elected to the board, start a construction defect lawsuit, and have the same attorney, same construction company, and everything involved. And so in the paper, these two police officers were mentioned. And let me say they were retired police officers, but they were mentioned in a local political columnist, you know, his column last week. And the day after all that came out, the one cop shot himself. He committed suicide. So I would think that he was probably really nervous about all the heat coming down on him. This is just my opinion, but when you commit suicide, you must be very scared. You know?
Well, it says in, there have been several articles, out of Nevada, as you know, and as my listeners probably should be aware, you can go and look them up, but, Van Cleef, who's the guy who committed suicide, was a member of the Homeowners Association at Pebble Creek Village, one of the seven condominium complexes around the valley named in a federal warrant obtained by the Review Journal. Mm-hmm. There were allegations of voter fraud that surfaced in a civil lawsuit in Pebble Creek Village near Eastern Avenue. Van Cleef and two others named in the warrant were elected to the board in May. So apparently there are some of these officers were people who were basically handpicked and put on the board, basically, right?
Right.
Nothing has come out other than there's no letter, no suicide note, nothing?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Mike, you know, for years, homeowners have been told if you don't like the board, you can vote the bums out. I mean, that was basically the only remedy available to homeowners.
Right.
It still is. Now we're seeing what homeowners have been telling you, me, and everyone else who would listen, that the elections are fraudulent, they're cooked. The managers, the board members, the attorneys, and all of the people who have an interest in the outcome of the election are the ones who are handling the elections. So there was basically no separation.
That's a problem. You know, and we've had the. You know, we've incorporated the double stuffed envelopes here, and
Okay, I was going to ask you about that. You had some safeguards put in place.
Right. We had the safeguards put in place. And
they didn't work.
Well, no matter what safeguard you have put in place, if people are if they're able to manipulate the system, I mean, it can happen with voting for the President of the United States. Same thing. The system can be manipulated if you get enough people on board to manipulate it. And so what happened here, yeah, you had the double-stuffed envelopes, all that. The breakdown is the property manager was in on the scam. The property manager, the builders, the attorney for the association, it appears, were all in on the scam because there's so much money involved. So what happened and what they have said in the story is in this one association, they have about 130 to 150 people vote every time, every election. Well, all of a sudden, they had 300 people vote. And all the ballots were mailed, well, 150 of the ballots, whatever, were mailed basically the same. They were mailed the same day from the same post office.
At the same time, right. And although the owners lived in different states and different cities within the different states, so they all came from the same mailing address.
Right. So what happened was, is the manager knew the people that voted and the people that didn't vote. So they went back over past elections, I would assume, and saw the people that never voted were the people from out of state. And so they took the ballots from them, you know, voted, mailed them all the same day. They were stupid, you know. Mailed them all the same day, same post office. So that was, I suppose, pretty easy for the FBI to track. But, you know, you can't, you know, laws are in place, but if you have a crook, they can find ways around the laws, you know. And, you know, they had the ballots that were to be mailed out, and they just held them back on certain people. So certain people who lived out of state, and Las Vegas is one of those resort areas, like, you get in Arizona and California where people own condos as a second home. And so, you know, how would someone know that a vote was coming up? You know, if you live out of state, you aren't being notified. And now they just take your ballots and your ballot's totally co-opted. And that's what they've done. So, you know, it can be done.
Mike, you're the first legislator in the country to have recognized the need for some adult supervision. You were the one who, I guess, got the first ombudsman's office in place in Nevada.
Yes.
And, you know, you've gone through a number of different ombudsmans. You know, first it was Mary Lynn Ashworth, and then you know, she was booted out, and you had Eldon Hardy, and now you've got this entire panel sitting there, and the entire panel is made up of CAI, right? The bulk of the panel.
Yeah, they were CAI members or past members. I know a couple of them haven't belonged in several years. Yeah, I don't hold that against anyone because it was the only professional organization going, and so some of the people belonged to it, but you know they had drifted away.
But okay, Mike. Now, a number of people had complained to the ombudsman's office, to this entire panel that was supposed to oversee associations. It complained that there's election rigging going on in their associations, there's fraud going on, there were some problems going on, and nobody, not even you, could figure out if anything was done. Somebody got a letter saying thank you for notifying us. We've investigated and the appropriate action was taken. But that's Steve Urbanetti. But you weren't able to find out what, if any, action was taken.
Right, right.
And you're the state senator, and you couldn't call them. They say that a complainant may not know what action was taken. That does not mean that no action was taken.
I'm the policymaker, okay? That's my position. The state senator, you're a policymaker, and I put policy in place. And did I not know? Well, if you're under investigation for some reason, then it gets into private information, and I shouldn't know. You know, if people are being investigated, and what the heck? I don't want to putting out private information, and who knows, there's things that are alleged, and they may or may not have been a crime on different cases. And I don't want to know every little instance, and I shouldn't know, because that gets into privacy matters. So, I could allege you that you were doing something and file a complaint in Virginia about you. Well, maybe I just didn't like you, and now I've got a complaint filed against you, and you don't want that out there.
If they found out, look, you've got, there's the homeowner who pays federal taxes, state taxes, local taxes,
and I know what you're saying, Shu.
And in addition, there's that extra fee that goes to pay for this panel. The panel is supposed to be providing some kind of oversight to say, yes, but they're not allowed to know. I mean, if you filed a complaint against me, and if you were to do that to the appropriate agency and they investigated and they found that I was doing something, they're not going to keep that secret. They shouldn't keep that secret. On the other hand, if you were just saying it to be malicious, then they should issue a statement. Yes, we received the complaint. Yes, we investigated, and the complaint was groundless.
Right, but if the investigation is still open and continuing, they shouldn't release information about that. That would be improper. And so I didn't know. But let me say, Shu, I've been very critical of the Ombudsman's Office and the Real Estate Division. I've been very critical of them. And we need to look at the whole operation here, look at personnel, and see where we're going to go. And so next session of the legislature, we will be taking a close look at everything here in Nevada. And, I guess the good thing here in Nevada is we do have some laws in place, and some of them are pretty strict. And so when something happens like this, and this is, the FBI is involved because we do have laws here, and these laws have been violated. So that, if we didn't have any laws.
Hey, listen, there are a lot of states out there, Mike, that are really jealous that the FBI actually got involved in Las Vegas and would like to see them involved in their own states as well. So, I'm really glad that they are involved, finally.
Yeah. Well, I am too. And they're involved for, one of the reasons is because we have good laws. Some of them are pretty tight, but criminals can violate any law they want, So now we just, our charge will be next session, go back and look, see if we can tighten up some laws, make some adjustments where they need to be made, because our goal is always is to protect the consumer out there, protect the homeowner. And, at the end of the day here, looks like some of it's working. And the FBI has some laws they can fall back on and do their investigations. And so, nothing's perfect. Heck, we're not Wall Street. Thank God.
I was going to say, you don't want to be right now. Mike, you say that you've got some laws. Is the Federal Bureau of Investigation actually enforcing Nevada laws, or are they looking at the federal laws? I'm a little confused here.
I think both. Both, and it falls under both. I mean, it's the RICO laws that really, I know, probably got them looking at this whole thing, but now all of a sudden, and it was prefaced here by saying political corruption. And
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and it's political corruption because in Nevada law, what we have in there, in the preamble to Chapter 116, which the homeowner association laws, it says that homeowner associations are quasi-governments. And we, in Nevada, have referred to associations as governments all the time. We've stated it in committee and on the floor of the Senate, and we've called them governments. And because they are governments, and now you have board members going bad, those are political actors. So it is a political corruption.
Can I take that one step further, Mike?
You bet.
If it's political corruption and if they are governments, when are we going to get it out of the civil milieu and put it in where, you know, where the police are going to start enforcing things?
And put it under the Attorney General.
Put it under the Attorney General instead of leaving the homeowners up to their own devices, because they're not getting much, by the sounds of things, from this panel or the Ombudsman's office, because none of them.
As you know, Shu, the Attorney General was when I wrote the bill creating the Ombudsman in 1997. That's where I wanted to put the Ombudsman. Was in the Attorney General's office, and it was blocked by the Republicans out here in Nevada. They did not want it to go to the Attorney General. The Attorney General was a Democrat. They did not want it to go there because they were afraid she was going to run for governor or U.S. Senator, which she never did. But it was a political move on their part to keep it out of the AG's office, and they've been able to do it for a lot of years, but I think we're going to be re-looking at that.
So put it, I mean, one of the other articles that I have here is the HOA Insider Break Silence. This is about the manager who was threatened with bodily harm and by a bunch of physical goons who came in. The whole thing was captured on video. And where was the police? I mean, you know, it's so easy to say, oh, well, you know, that's private and that's a civil matter. Hire an attorney and go to court. This is a crime.
Right. You're right. You're right. No doubt about that. It is a crime. And, you know, I think that my hope would be that with this raid that happened, you know, a little over a week ago here in Las Vegas, it would bring more attention to these homeowner associations nationwide. You know, I just think that this is such a big story that all attorney generals and all 50 states now need to put this on their radar and say, hey, you know, maybe we need to go to our legislature and say, you know, you better look at these HOAs as governments and look and see how they're acting. Because I'll tell you what, if you looked at homeowner associations across this nation, you would find that there's hundreds of billions of dollars in these associations. And when you have all that money, it's kind of like Wall Street. Honest people want to steal it pretty soon. And so I would think that if anything, this is a positive for not only for Nevada but for the rest of the nation, for homeowners. This is a positive thing. It's been years in coming, and I've been vilified. I've been vilified. You know that. These construction defect attorneys who have masqueraded as homeowner association attorneys have flown senior citizens to to our state capitol during session.
Wait a minute. They've done what? Say that again.
During the legislative sessions,
yes,
these construction defect attorneys who masquerade as homeowner association attorneys, you know, to try to get in, they have loaded senior citizens on planes, flown them to our capital in Carson City. They give them yellow, bright yellow t-shirts that say, "Save our homes." And they walk the hallways talking to legislators. They come in committees and claim their homes are falling apart. We need these laws changed so we can sue and all that. So they've vilified Mike Schneider. Senator Schneider's the bad guy here. And that whole story has gone on since 97. Now I'm getting a little redemption all of a sudden to find out those guys that were buying those senior citizens, those people living in homeowner association, they buy them breakfast, they buy them lunch, they fly them to Carson City, and then they fly them back at the end of the day, buy them dinner, and say thank you very much. They're spending, I mean, that costs tens of thousands of dollars to do that. They're not doing it because they're nice guys. And they're looking out for the poor person, you know, for the poor person that lives in a homeowner association. They're doing that because they make a lot of money doing this.
CAI lobbying groups, CAI members down in Florida, the reason I said repeat that is because that, I think, has happened in Florida as well. So it's kind of the same tactic that's being used, Mike. They're taking these people and they're taking them down to, you know, running them up to wherever they're taking them so that they can talk to the legislators, whether they're having town hall meetings, whatever's happening. Representative Julio Urbina in Florida has been very good about going around the country and setting up various town hall meetings and task forces and so on. And one of the arms of CAI, the lobbying groups of CAI, have also trucked people in to testify. So in essence, the same thing. I had not heard that it happening over in Nevada, but I had heard about it happening in Florida as well. So they're doing the same thing across the country, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, and the money, as I said at the beginning of your program, the money's coming from construction defect attorneys. And there's just so much money involved. So they're putting it up because these guys make, you can do a $30 million construction defect case and the attorneys will drag $16 million out of there. So,
what's the answer, Mike? What's the answer? What are we going to do about this whole mess?
You know, I'm almost to the point where I want to throw my arms up in the air and retire here. But the answer is when people have to know what they're buying into in homeowner associations. And, you know, what people do is they come in homeowner associations, they buy their house. And they say, well, I want to buy in there because I don't want a car up on blocks in the front yard and all that. So I understand why they buy in there. And then they think that somehow the government just takes care of it for them. And they don't have to be involved. You know, and they got this little board I believe they think is just kind of a ceremonial board. But somehow the people in homeowner associations say, well, the government's looking out for me, and they'll take care of all the problems. And what happens is you get people on these boards who have some other agenda, and then the regular ma and pa sitting at home at the kitchen table are not paying attention. And they're really, you know, they just don't care. They just don't care what happens. They don't want to be bothered. They come home from work. They want to have dinner and a glass of wine and kick back and watch TV. And their homes are basically being stolen from them, and they don't know it.
That's good. Go on.
Yeah, kind of like it's kind of like our government, our federal government, and what's happened. You know, people don't vote. I mean, voter turnout's been historically low. Heck, only half the people in the United States are registered to vote anyhow. So those half, on election day, you get half of those people show up to vote. So people are very apathetic. They don't get involved. And then look what's happened the last 8 years when we elected the person we elected, and everything's gone to hell in the handbasket. We've sent our imperialist army around the world, invading countries. Well, that's because people weren't involved. They weren't paying attention. And this is the same thing's happened in homeowner associations.
Well, Mike, I think you're being a little simplistic here, because where I come from in Fairfax County, we have a mandate, and we've had the mandate since 1984, which means that everything that has been built in Fairfax County since 1984 has been part of a homeowners association. Then you say, well, okay, you know, you've got the stuff that was built before 1984. Well, they've decided to rezone all that, and because the land use was not very good, and people actually had yards, so they're tearing all of that down. And with the eminent domain laws that have gone in, you know, all of that's being torn down. And right now, the estimate is that less than 10% of our housing stock in Fairfax is not in a homeowners association. So over 90% of all housing is in an HOA. If you move out to the outer counties out there, Loudoun County, Prince William County, and all of those counties are a whole lot newer. So their percentages of controlled housing is infinitely higher than what we have here. So it's easy to say that. I mean, I know people frustrate me. They think they're being taken care of. They're not. But a lot of people have actually tried to buy non-HOA housing, and they have not been able to because there ain't no such animal.
Well, you know, and I don't think what you said is, I mean, too simplistic. Yeah, I did. I mean, that's the problem with HOAs. Now, what you're addressing is how local governments have shifted the responsibility of management to homeowner associations, and they've done that because that's the way to enhance their tax revenue.
Right.
Okay, they've shifted it off. They make the builders and developers do homeowner associations, and that way Then the HOAs are responsible for the streets, the lights, the water pipes, the sewer pipes, and all that. Well, they're charging the same tax dollars as someone down the street who lives outside an HOA.
Bingo.
They're paying the same tax dollars as the person inside the HOA, and the difference is the local government has absolutely no responsibility for the maintenance of any of the amenities in the HOA.
In fact, Mike, in Las Vegas, isn't there an older subdivision that the Las Vegas City Council came and built a wall around and said, here, now you're an HOA, when there wasn't one before?
That's correct.
How can you blame the people when you've got things like that going on? Yes, there's some people who want the carefree living. They buy into the notion they're going to be protected. But they're also, you've got situations where you've just totally taken away any choice. People don't have the option.
Yeah, I know. They're taking away the choice. Now, that thing you were talking about here in Las Vegas, to be fair, people got together and voted. And the majority voted to become an HOA and put the wall up and all that. I still don't think that was fair. First of all, everybody should have been, you know, it should have been 100% vote or none.
Absolutely, because it's a property right that was taken away from them.
Absolutely. And that's, so I would agree with you that shouldn't have been done. But, hey, it was. But that, again, that's where the local governments, being short of money, have mandated HOAs. They've not encouraged them, they've mandated them, and instead of working more with the builders and developers, they just offload all the responsibility on them, and they tell them, well, you can't get the zoning unless you do a PUD here, an HOA, planned unit development. So
that's,
you know,
a mandate.
It's a mandate. It's absolutely, it's the law. Unless you do that, you know, you don't get your zoning. You can't build.
So how can you choose something that's not in an HOA when you've got this situation that we've got?
Well, you know, I think with it'll be hard to change. All right, it'll be hard because all governments across the nation right now are short of money. So it's going to be something that's hard to change. However, saying that, with this FBI raid, you know, everybody's antenna is up now, and I think the local governments will now have to pay attention that, hey, you know, you've created these things. You've created them for your own benefit, and now we have a disaster going on in them. You have homeowners that are being just totally abused out here. They're losing their money, everything else. So it's a situation that has to get more attention. I know in our legislature it will. And, you know, it may take a session or two to change things, but things, they are a-changing out here, believe me.
Did you know, Mike, that about 10, 12 years ago, in New York City, they did pretty much a huge cleanup of the kind of corruption that you've got here with their co-ops and the real estate boards, and it was in the city. They cleaned it up, and 2 years later, they had to go back in and clean it up again. Everyone was on notice. Everyone knew that the corruption was going on. Everyone knew the theft was going on. Everyone knew the abuses were taking place. And yet it happened again and again, and I bet you it's going on again right now.
Right, right. Well,
So we come back to what are we going to do about it?
Well, I've said over the years, and I know the CAI members have not liked what I said, but I've said it's a Schneiderism. I'll stick to it. And that is, every good homeowner association will eventually go bad. And it's, you're just one election away from getting that board president from hell that's gonna screw up your homeowner association. And I've seen it here in Las Vegas. Las Vegas is a city of 2 million people, and we have, you know, our growth is every decade since 1900, we've doubled in population. And so you take in 1950, there were like 25,000 people living in Las Vegas, and now there are over 2 million. So you can see the growth. Now you know all that growth recently has been homeowner associations.
Right.
And with all those homeowner associations, I've seen every homeowner association goes bad. You know, they can operate good when they're new, and they operate good for X number of years, and then here it comes. You get that bad board, and everything goes to hell. And I've just seen it over and over again.
When does your legislative session start in Nevada? Is it an annual one, or is it biannual?
No, it's biannual. We start first part of February.
This coming year, 2009.
Yeah. 2009.
Have you got any ideas of legislation that you're going to pass that's going to deal with these problems once and for all, Mike?
Well, I don't think there is legislation that you pass and that you fix it once and for all. I think I think you just have to keep working at it. And no matter what we do this session, you know, the bad actors will be back, and they'll try to get around the law. That seems like it always happens. They'll try to get around the law, because there's so much money involved. And so you just have to keep on top of it, keep changing the law, to try to stay ahead of the crooks.
How about, I'm just sitting here listening to you, and I'm coming up with ideas for you, Mike.
Yep.
Number one, ban the mandates so that local municipal governments can no longer mandate associations, let the market decide. You're laughing. You're laughing, Mike. It's going to work.
Okay.
The other thing, you yourself have said that you've introduced legislation. You've always called HOAs governments. It's time to take them out of the civil litigation arena and put them where they belong, which is where government is, you know, with government oversight. So get the DA involved. Train law enforcement officers to go in and investigate alleged crimes and embezzlement, especially in the financial stuff. They've done that in Florida. They've got a pilot program that they started down there. And any homeowner that has any concerns about money that's missing can go to a special unit within law enforcement and turn over what they have, and then law enforcement will go in and investigate their allegations to determine whether or not there's anything. And usually they find there's money missing. I mean, as you pointed out, there's just millions of billions of dollars involved here, and we keep hearing more and more every day of millions of dollars that are embezzled by board members, by management companies, the attorneys. You know, I don't know that they embezzle, but they certainly manage to squeeze a lot of money out of these things. And allow associations to dissolve if they want to. A number of associations have tried to dissolve. Local governments won't let them do it. If they don't want it, you're saying that's what the people want. If they're telling you, we really don't want this, we want to dissolve it, help them find a way to dissolve the association. I mean, these are just things that I came up with while you were talking, like 2 seconds.
Well, something else I've been thinking of is probably something that we could look at doing, and that is standardized accounting. In other words, every homeowner association has to do the same type of accounting, the same type of bill paying and all that, so the management companies, you know, no matter what management company you have in your association, the books are the same, and the payroll, everything's the same. I've noticed what's happened is when these HOAs, when they change management companies, people, all of a sudden, they get notices that they're behind in their dues or whatever. And what happens is they come in, a whole new system goes in, and they lose people. They fall through the cracks. And now they're fining people for being behind in their dues and all that. And they put the burden on them to bring in canceled checks and all that. And it makes it harder for the homeowner to find out where the money's going. And so I would think that one of the things we have to look at is, you know, you got to have a standardized accounting. It's all got to be on the computer. It has to be there. And maybe, you know, we can go even further where you could sit in your house in the evening and you could go into your HOA system. You could log in with your personal ID and go in and look at the books and all that. I think that should be available to all the homeowners. And I think that has the opportunity to knock down a lot of the fraud and the corruption.
That's a point, but I think that you need to go beyond that. I really do. I think it's going to take more than just standardizing the accounting practices of all the HOAs.
Well, that's one step. What I'm saying is there's a lot of things we can do to have some rules in place to help protect the homeowner. I think that could be one of the rules.
How could I possibly have forgotten, stop fining, ban fining? That's ridiculous. And also stop the power to foreclose. I bet you there's a lot of crooked stuff that goes on in the foreclosure business as well.
Well, sure there is. You know, that's kind of a mute point here in Las Vegas right now, that foreclosure stuff. I mean, these HOAs don't want to foreclose right now because all of a sudden they're responsible for a lot of debt that's on the houses. We're like the top foreclosure city in the nation, at least one of the top three. And I do know there's another problem that maybe another show you'll talk about, and that is in these tough economic times when we have so many foreclosures and that, these HOAs, the people are not paying their dues.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Dues are falling down. I mean, that's one of those bills that they put off.
Right.
And we have, I mean, the gal who cuts my hair just got on her board. And when I went in last month, saw her, she had the statement of all the members of her association. Now, she lives in a townhome project, and their dues are like $140 a month. There are people that are $5,000 and $6,000 behind.
Yeah, no, that's
and that's at $140 a month. So they haven't paid their dues in a long time, and you know that's getting really bad. So we got thousands of dollars, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands out in some of these associations that's bad money out there. And now they're stealing money out of the reserve accounts just to pay ongoing maintenance. And that's a real problem. So these associations are on the verge of, a lot of them out here are on the verge of collapse. They just can't pay their bills.
I hope you'll come back and talk to us about that one of these days, Mike.
All right, Chu. Nice talking with you.
You did. Thank you very much. We talked to Senator Mike Schneider. There's so much going on in Las Vegas. And thank you, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Chu. Have a good day.
You too. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings closed to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.